Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and also we're simulcasting on eSETI Stargate, where you can actually go into the chat room and interact with the people on the show, and a lot of other people come in there, so it's a great, happy family. A lot going on right now. I'm not going to go too much into the news. Whenever we cover the scamdemic, we get in trouble, and they've been censoring everybody. We've got warnings and everything about that. But hang in there. It's all going to come out, and the truth about this situation is going to come out. But just follow the money, and you'll know who's behind it. You know, bottom line, it's not that complicated. Also, too, the Schumann resonance has been off the scale. So if you've been feeling a little wonky lately, you know, it's just been all over the place. We had a massive influx of energy come in on the 19th, which we talked about 2 weeks ago. We said there's going to be a big shift on the 19th, and it's probably going to go for a few days. So you're going to see a lot of crazy stuff happening in the next few days. So just hang on, and this too shall pass. You know, don't worry about this stuff. My guest today is Peter Maxwell Slattery, and Peter has so many fingers and so many pots. It'd take me an hour to cover everything he's doing, but he's a frequent guest on Edge of Wonder, a lot of major TV stations, Ancient Aliens. We can talk about that. Others. He's got, I don't know how many books. How many books do you have now, Peter?
I've got 5 out at the moment. There's another one coming soon. Originally, there was, I think, 10 or 11, but I've condensed some of them into one book. So there's 5 available at the moment, but I'll be doing revised editions of a few more in another new one soon as well. So yeah, there's quite a bit out there.
Yeah, and he was the master tech and producer of Contact Has Begun 2 and The Uncontrolled Narrative, which I recommend everybody see. We've been doing so much. He also has eSETI Australia, so he's our Australian counterpart in Australia. So without further ado, I want to bring Peter on. So Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on again, and it's good to connect.
Yeah, I wish you were out here, but with all this nonsense going on, they've got the planes chained down to the runway, you know, so.
That's why I was laughing at the scamdemic comment you made.
Yeah, it's obviously it's a bioengineered, you know, creature, and it'll all come out. You know, it was released on purpose and to collapse the economy, and it's all political, and so it's going to come out. You can see the people, the white hats, people on the light side are trying to open the economy back up and get things rolling again, and the other people are just trying to keep everything shut down and get everybody to vote from home, you know, keep you locked in your cubicles, which is totally against the Constitution and unlawful, but they will continue with their unlawfulness, and they will be exposed for who they are. But anyway, I know you've got even tighter restrictions over there in Australia.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, I can understand in some concepts the differences in what states are doing, just like in America, you know, with mainly New York being the epicenter there with a lot of things that the restrictions are different from state to state. But there is a lot of confusion on what people can do, what people can't do. We are at the state now where you can visit people. That's pretty much it. I think it's got a limit of maybe 10 people. Don't quote me. I'm not even really keeping up to date with it all because it really hasn't affected me. It's not like if it doesn't affect me, it doesn't exist. But I'm always like locked up in a cabin anyway at the Mount Buffalo here doing my thing. But it's been hard to see, you know, people, their livelihoods and their jobs be affected and their income. And also the control mechanism of what's going on, that this is really something that's been foretold for a long time of a possibility that would happen, whether it was a pandemic or a lockdown, things like that. And you've been speaking about this type of stuff since the 80s. You know, it's just the conscious leap in evolution and the ascension process we're going through. This is really part of us as a collective going through the turmoil and also having to stand up for ourselves with when is enough enough as well, but doing it in a peaceful way, not in a violent way.
Yeah, I agree. I know from being over there the past couple of times, you know, I thought, you know, I guess if you go to a major city like New York or California, starting to get that way, both of them, they've got, you know, cameras on every corner, they're watching everything. And and God knows their satellite systems, what they can do. And so it's pretty heavy here, but I noticed over there, I mean, you can't even drive on the highways without a transponder. They know where you are, when you are going there, everything. They know your whole life story over there. And I guess you guys lost your Second Amendment. It's our Second Amendment. I don't know what it is for you, but...
Well, it's different from you guys. Like, you guys got the right to bear arms. People say, you know, we've got no guns here, but we do have guns. It's just we haven't got, like, the full-blown semi-automatics and certain things, and you do need a license and things like that. But it's it's a really safe, cool country, but at the same time, you see the freedoms of other places, and they've got things that we don't, but then we've got things that other countries don't as well. But, you know... is a big place for, we could say, the deep state or the Illuminati. Probably, you know, this video will get demonetized now or cut off, but
yeah,
this is a very big stronghold, foothold for that culture here as well, which a lot of people are unaware of. With that said, it's something that you need to experience, like you have multiple times now staying here, experiencing it, that... you've sort of got to experience it, I guess, to sort of get a gist of what Australians are going through. Just like I've got to go there. When I go there, I can see some of the trials and tribulations that Americans have as well.
I think a lot, they always say, you know, the other countries are going to follow what America does. And so I think we're pretty much done. There's going to be a major roundup with a lot of this stuff. And we've had it up to our neck, and we're done with it as a whole. You know, there's still the sheeple out there that will, no matter what, you know, they'll do, let me get rid of this. I have family that has radar. I don't know how it is. They have radar and they always call exactly when I'm busy doing something. Everybody else. But my brother drives me nuts because his phone, it never works. And he calls me and you can never hear him. And it just, I'm going, okay, this is the 10th time you've called me today and there's nobody. I'm not answering. You climb off a ladder and you got a nail gun in your hand and all this stuff. And you're going, you go to the phone and you go, God, yes.
The worst timing.
Yeah, yeah. So I know everybody has that. I know with the stay-at-home order, you know, I'll bet you people are just driving everybody nuts, each other nuts. The families are driving each other nuts. I know the suicide rates have gone up, the abuse rates, alcoholism's gone up, you know, everything. And it's almost more deadly to keep everything locked down than it is to open things up, basically.
Definitely. I think also it's a time for those that are ready for it or wanting to, it's a time for reflection, but. And it's hard for some because a lot of their stuff gets brought to the surface. And so it's two-sided. Of course, you know, it's causing havoc and, you know, there is upping in domestic violence or alcoholism or drugs, but it's also an opportunity for people to go, all right, this is a bit of downtime for me to work on me, but it's ultimately up to them if they want to take that opportunity or not, because it's, you know, part of the process of self-mastery for those demons to rear their ugly heads or to work through some of the trials and tribulations that we've got individually and as a collective. So it's definitely trying times.
Yeah, a lot of challenges here at the ranch, especially because I know what this energy, people don't understand what this energy does. It's a great amplifier and it's going to amplify everything. And it's going to amplify the tyranny. You know, they're going to come out of the woodwork. It's just amplifies everything. And so the thing is they're not sustainable. You know, they don't operate within universal law. So their world is not sustainable. They're on a downward spiral. But you know, it's going to come up. All the masks are going to come down. We're going to see who they are, you know, what they're about, what they've been doing, you know, and what we've seen over here in the States is that it's just unbelievable narcissism with politicians, self-centered, what do you call it? Service to self, you know, it's just corruption. It's all coming up. And to me, it's like this system is really broke. You know, we need a council of grandmothers hooked up to a galactic council or something different, because obviously this isn't working. And, you know, it may work after the cleanup, you know, after the Great Awakening, after there's a major cleanup. But I think once that happens, we won't need a system like this. We need to go to a whole different system.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where it's coming up to now. And even with the Q movement and, you know, the RV and things like that, it's like all great things. And I'm wanting these things to push through quicker than anyone. But it's also not relying on it, as you and I have spoken about, from the point of view that it's about us making the change that we can independently as people to project the change that we want to see in this world. So it's not externalizing it or even replacing one system with another.
Yeah.
For example, in the Pleiades, you know, they do have certain types of, depending on which type of Pleiades we're talking about, they've got robots, droids, drones that will do the menial work for like maintenance and things like that. But people are still educated, but they do what they're passionate about, whether it's being an explorer or an engineer or architect or their own versions of that. So this is where there is no monetary system in those types of places. They've got replicators. Everyone's got an abundance of just the necessities, but there's still that drive and that yearning within their soul to do what they're passionate about, which is the way that they contribute to the overall collective. And so this is where we're at now, is we're going through not just a linear change here in the way that we conduct ourselves as humans, but we're going to a new way that for us to get there first, we need to work through all the crap, which is part of that, again, the ascension process. And ascension is not what most think. Ascension, yeah, we could look at the advanced concepts of the rainbow light body and achieving that ascension. Yeshua ben Joseph, Jesus, you know, a lot of these over 160,000 cases in Tibet now that have been documented as rainbow light body transformations, but raising your frequency is ascension. Some people, they may go to a new earth or another planet, or they'll stay here and be guides in physical form. And first, to get there, you have to release all that which no longer serves you inside. So whether it's trauma, wrong conclusions, judgments, even for ourselves, we have to deal with that most importantly rather than others, because it's easier to do that for others than ourselves. But we're going through that on a collective basis. And once enough of us start doing it, this is where the world as a collective are going to go through it. And that's where we're going to see these monumental leaps and changes in whether it's economics or social structure or law and order, things like this. So this is to be expected. Everything that's happening is definitely to be expected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, the bottom line, love is the ultimate power. You know, it's the life force, it's a cosmic glue that holds everything together. And these people are looking for power, but they're doing it. They're trying to overpower others and control and dominate. And that's not power. You know, love empowers. You empower others and things. And when you do that, that energy is blowing through you. That's the real power. And they miss that. And they're never happy. You know, they have $1 billion. They're never happy. You know, the people only care what they can do for them. You know, there's no love in their life. And they do have a lot of power because people will give their power up to them for those little frog skins, you know, those little green pieces of paper. But, you know, it's just like, but ultimately, you know, love and joy and bliss is what you're seeking. And you're seeking to connect with your creator. And everything they're doing is contrary to that, contradictory to that. So they're actually shooting themselves in the foot again and again and again and not, you know, not figuring it out yet. But eventually, you know, they're never going to be free, you know, because they're, whatever they do is determined by the people beneath them, you know, the people they're trying to control, because the people will go one way and they have to go with them. And then people go another way, they have to go with them. And they don't realize that they're trapped. They've trapped themselves. So they're not really free. You know, they have a lot of toys and a lot of money, but there's no real freedom in that.
They need that external validation that what they're doing is right as well. It's all outside of themselves where they're looking for that confirmation, where it's about bringing it back within and following that feeling inside of where you should be going, what path you should be going down, that knowingness and awareness of what we know to be true, but we don't know how, that divine connection is actually what's going on when that's happening. And that's what enough, like, we need more people following. And or otherwise, you know, these people just repeat the same old patterns and they're not evolving. We could give $1 million to somebody that's really negative. And unless they're willing to work through the process, that $1 million is going to go quick and they're still not going to be happy. And that's really the inner reflection that needs to be done.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I found out you get more complicated. You know, the more your life gets complicated, the less joy you have. It's really interesting. And the more stuff you have to keep, to take care of, to maintain and everything else, the more, you know, it's just, I know simplicity, you know, the more simple you are, the more you can get to that zero point within yourself, that, and all these other things are major distractions. Now, if you can practice loving detachment, you can still have the things and have a great life and everything else, but you can't be attached to it. And like you were saying, people equate their self-worth with their finances or the toys and everything else. You know, you get this fancy new car and you're driving around going, yeah, look at me, you know, bam, somebody smashes it or steals it. Your self-worth just went in the toilet. Now you got this beater or you got no car at all. But all those things aren't established through external objects. And that's where people need to get back to, is that, you know, you can be happy for no reason. You know, you can be abundant and not have any money. You know, you can be all these things you can have and internally, and nobody can take that away from, you know, you can have your own, you know, love yourself, approve yourself, accept yourself. Then you don't need the love and acceptance and approval from others. You know, it's all about becoming sovereign and going within and finding, you know, that, I mean, it sounds sappy, but finding that creator love, that's when you really hit the target and you're just all blissed out beyond measure. But you'll never get that or experience that bliss until you learn to let the other things go, you know.
Yeah.
Let your attachment to them go, basically.
Definitely, definitely. And I think this is where even with the spiritual community, you can take a page out of what you're saying as well, because I find in recent times there is still an externalism with these otherworldly beings that my guide said this or this being said that. Now, the thing is, we've got to see our guides and our ET family and the masters as siblings, the greater family of man, like you say.
Yeah.
But the thing is, a lot of people give externalism to them as well. And the thing is, and what I'm trying to say is, we've got to even see these beings as friends, as siblings, that it's like if you ring up a friend and you're venting yourself or you're getting a second opinion on something, it's not that everything's got to be done gospel by them as well, but it's about bringing it back. Because a lot of the time, like you know, these beings will say, well, how do you want to follow your bliss with this? What's going to bring you love, bliss, and joy and make you feel good about the path that you're on? And a lot of people at the moment, I think, they're still not getting the point that everything is about it's up to us individually. And this is where the change really starts. Our guides can only tell us so much and we keep repeating the same pattern. Where does that change start? It starts with you taking notice of what needs to be worked on and going from there and only seeing that as guidance as well. Yeah. Because we're seeing sort of a lot of hijacking going on in this community, yeah, to where people are losing the point that even the guides and the angels and ETs are saying, which is all about, you know, going within and making that change from there. Because if they could have helped, they would have helped long ago. Now, they're on the peripheral and they're helping and they're assisting, like you and I know. But ultimately, we're here to bring that change about. And first, it starts within. It'll project without. And then enough of them doing it, meaning enough earthlings doing it, we're going to see this leap happen very quickly to where this will be an old memory going, how did we operate in the year 2000? Geez, I'm glad we don't operate that way anymore.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. I've seen so much of that in the spiritual community. You know, it's like the Facebook spirituality. You know, they can quote all the affirmism, all that stuff. You know, they have all the buzzwords and everything else, but their life's in the toilet, you know. And it's kind of like, okay, yeah, you have the lingo down and you have the look and you have all this other stuff, but you know, but you're still carrying all that baggage, you know. You know, I've seen people, they have these skins. This one guy had this skin, this animal skin. He put it on. He goes, look, I can phase into a coyote and all this stuff. And had all this money and all the bulls and everything, you know. And I go, yeah, but you got no juice. You know, you have all the stuff, but where's your juice? You know, where's your connection, you know? And the thing is, it is using all that stuff, it was still trying to get approval and acceptance outside of self, you know, and that's the trap, you know. So when you're authentic and you just own it and you come from there, people lose that power. But, you know, I have so many people come here and I channel this and I channel that and they told me that you're supposed to give me the keys, I'm the grand poobah here. You need to step aside, you know. Like, I've heard it all over the years, and I go, seriously, you know, I go, I didn't get the memo, you know, I'm sorry. You know, they didn't give me the same memo. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. There's just so much of that. It's ungrounded.
It is. It is. It's like, I'll give one example, and I'm not trying to put people down, but I'm just trying to give a bit of a reality check here with this as well. And that is, I've met so many people, and as an example, they say, I'm a ninth dimensional Pleiadian starseed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry, but that was an experience that you had, that you carry those traits, abilities, and vibration within your light body with you forever.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that we're an aspect of source, God, whatever people want to term it, that left itself to refine itself in a process of experiencing and gaining knowledge, and you haven't just been a Pleiadian ninth dimensional starseed. You have been many, many things before, including in realms where there is no star systems or galaxies or planets. And it's what I'm saying is that people limit themselves to what they actually think they are. And it's okay to be working with these beings or these energies because we inherit them from experiencing them. But it's, again, coming back to realizing that we're all one consciousness interacting with itself, and we are all a cell of the same consciousness, and we're symbiotic within that. And this is where I think there's this... People need to learn that they don't know it all. Like you and me, you've been doing this how long I've been alive, and I learned so much from you, but I know at the same time, even though you're tapping into a lot of beings like me, you're still learning, whether it's from them or from your own God self. We are continuously learning, and people sort of put themselves in this box. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that get out of that box, because that's when you're going to really see constantly new things being unveiled to show you how big and beautiful this reality and this universe really is.
And it comes from being humble and being nobody. People don't realize that, but you know, when I connect with these beings, say if you connect with a seventh dimensional being, you know, they're God beings, right? And they're one with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. They really don't care about identity. It's not important to them because they know they're one with everything, right? And so it's like, and they go, why would I attach to a name? You know, why would I attach? When you get way up there, they do have a name, they do have a frequency, and they kind of use that just so you have something to connect to, you know, but really they're so far beyond that. And, you know, I wish I had a dime for everybody that told me they were Mary in a past life or Cleopatra or Napoleon or whatever, you know, but you know, it's just like, that's a limitation. People don't realize, well, that's a limitation. You know, your soul came from the source, and you can expand that soul to become one with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness. Why give yourself a limitation? You know, it's like, you know, people ask me my last name and I forget it half the time. I go, oh yeah. Yeah. Just call me James. You know, it's just like, whatever, you need a reference point, use that, you know? So, it's kind
of, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Like, you know, you and me have done a lot of work together over, I think, 7 years we've known each other now, so that's creeping on. But
yeah,
a lot of these beings, the method through, we all interact with these beings the same way, and I notice predominantly is through three things. Out of the five sense reality, we use one, which is sensation or touch, equate to sensation. Yeah. There's an energy with them. The second is what I call thought transfer through thought. There's this dialogue, but also the mind's eye. But once you start getting up there, like you're saying, a lot of these beings don't have names, but what they've shown me when I'm interfacing, whether it's physically or astrally or on a board of craft, you feel their soul essence, their frequency, and you basically, that's being translated into a word that mimics it, but they don't even have a name. But that's the way that you can tap into them, I guess, like a universal phone number.
Yeah.
And we look at the Andromedans. Geez, talk about them, and I'm talking about the Andromeda galaxy beings, these beautiful orange light beings, as you know about, we've interacted with. They've got a perfect balance of masculine and feminine, but they're not operating in the same confines as what we are down here. There's this symbiotic relationship with them as well, but they still embrace that individual aspect, but they're more broad.
Yeah, I saw one of the ships once and actually got a photograph of it. I didn't take it, somebody else did. And I was looking at it, and it was just like this domed triangle, but it was transparent. You could see through it. It was wall to wall orbs on the inside. And I go, those are them. Those are the beings. And you know, they have a containment, a vessel, I guess, that they can hang out together with.
But, see, I think it's to protect them from outside influences of the denseness here when they or when they're traveling in environments. Yeah, exactly.
And they, they can travel as a light sphere or an orb with 360-degree vision, you know, and go forward or backward in time or jump dimensions or anything. They're so far beyond anything we can comprehend. And there's different groups coming out. There are some that are a little more physical out of that area that are still pretty interesting. You know, I've seen them with all these glyphs tattooed all over them and things. They're blue. They have blue skin, you know, beings coming out of there too as well. But there's just so much going on out there. And that's what I tell everybody. It goes, oh, you're an expert on the UFOs or higher dimensional beings. And I said, I just scratched the surface. You know, I've met so many different beings, you know, up to the 13th dimension, but I haven't even scratched the surface. You know, the more I find out, the more I know I don't know. You know, it's so vast, but even with all that experience or knowledge, you know, you gotta get down to basics, you know, and that's what I think we're losing. We're losing the basics of, you know, get out of the separation game. Get out of the identity game, you know, the separation game, and follow universal law, you know, brother, sister, love, individual freedom and prosperity for everybody, universal peace, the basics. You know, you got to stick to the basics and stop. These other entities that come in are going to tell you how special you are and they're going to flatter you and everything else. And some of those you need to really watch out for because they're dividing you. You know, they're creating a division with you and they're saying, you're the chosen one, you're special. You know, you are channeling, like you're saying, this ninth dimensional Pleiadian and everything else. But, and then people's ego gets a hold of that. And then they have spiritual ego. And the next shift is going into pure narcissism and they're gone.
And that's when they're going to go to a next level. Like I'm channeling a 22 dimensional goat man. They've just got to outdo you. You know, they've got to take it to another level. And look, it's unfortunate because we do see within this community that this is what creates the division, is we need to be accepting of others' experiences and opinions, because in actual fact, they're just as valid as our own personal ones. It's just they're viewing this reality through a different lens, and there is too much that it's either this way or it's this way or not at all. Like there's this, we need to drop that as a community. And we see so much backstabbing and talking behind people's backs where they don't listen or talk to the other party, that they get one side. And we've both experienced this. Unfortunately, me a lot in modern times. I've got a lot of people saying a lot of things, but nobody's ever come and spoken to me about anything, whether it's been personal or not. Oh, yeah. And therefore, I don't need their acceptance. And anybody who knows me knows the real being that I am inside and out. Yeah, I'm a bit rough around the edges, but I'm as real as I can come as well. And I've got my own faults just like you do as well. But this is where we work through those things. But unfortunately, you're perfect, James. No, you always say that.
Take it in my imperfection. I just tell people I'm, you know, channeling Golgothon from Uranus, you know, lives next to a brown dwarf, you know, but, you know, and I'm going to get hit for being spiritually PC incorrect, I'm sure.
Well, look at what you're posting on, let's say, Facebook. I probably haven't laughed that much in, like, my whole entire life. I've got to actually put Facebook away when I see your posts but what you're doing is you're showing that you're real and people take this too serious.
Exactly.
People are too serious. We've got to get back to like basics, like you're saying, but part of that's not only how we treat others, but also having some friggin' fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we have a saying here, if it's not fun, it's not sustainable. You know, if people came to our dinner table sometime, they go, holy crap, you know, where is this coming from? You know, so You know, we laugh so hard at the dental table sometimes people are spitting their drinks out and choking on their
included. Food. I can't deal with it half of the time eating around you because I can't even bloody eat my food. But people have got no idea. I think those that have been to the ranch and have sat down around you or I, especially you, they would see that, you know, things are actually more fun at the ranch than what they perceive because people start losing this seriousness. And as you've taught me as well, is that even when we're working with groups doing, you know, ambassador training and things like that, when you bring in those jokes and that joy, what happens? You get results.
Yeah.
The bangs come through.
Yeah. People start laughing. When they start laughing, the energy shifts in the room. And one of the last talks I did at the Down Under, what was it? Disclosure down in Ventura.
Down Under, yeah.
Yeah, that one there, the Ventura one, is I was... They're people go, I've never seen you like this. And the whole audience was just cracking up and laughing and everything else. And I said, yeah, but that's what opens the door. That's what cracks the door for the higher dimensional beings to come in. And, you know, this whole PC correct thing is just a big control program. It's another control program to diminish your light and keep you from being authentic. And your real power comes from being authentic. And that's what people don't understand is they think they need to wear sandals and a robe and eat goji berries and turn their body into a pretzel and do all these things, you know, and then they're spiritual, you know, and become a ninth degree teacher of Tantra. I don't know where, you know, it's just like, I mean, I did all that. I did all the 11 years I studied bhakti yoga, you know, and was a teacher and all that stuff. But, you know, it's really, the real power came when I just let go of everything. I just let go of all of it. And I just, you know, made those connections. Drowning helped, you know, that was a great kickstart. But after the drowning, I had, you know, quite a few years of study with lamas and yogis. And what I loved about the lamas is that most of them were hilarious, and they had wicked senses of humor. They didn't take anything seriously, and they would push your buttons and do things just to show you, you know, where you're in judgment or where you're limited. You know, they would actually push those buttons.
Where your triggers are.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to be worked on. And this is where it's like I say to people, when you're around these beings, like, of course, you know, whether it's the Elohim, Shiji or whoever, or Kazekiel, you know, like the beings that you work with as well, which I've interacted with you, what happens is you start to realize that yes, you get blissed out. You laugh, especially with
Kazekiel or the lion beings.
The lion beings.
Yeah
Bakal, that's it. When these energies come through, what happens is that's a natural byproduct. And people have got to remember, do you want to go and hang around people that you're going to laugh and have a good time with, or serious people? It's the same with these energies and these otherworldly beings. They love it when there's this laughter and this joy happening because that just brings them in even more. And frequency specific-wise is easier for them to come through. Like John Vivanco says, you know, when you're serious or you're going through something, it's basically you might as well have a brick and just peg it at their head because that's what you're doing frequency-wise if you're in a lower state, and which is why people aren't realizing it. So, and you do get this with a lot of these monks, lamas, and gurus and that when you speak to a lot of these people, you know, they put on their pants the same way that we do, but they've got a sick sense of humor. But it's... you know, not being in a place of judgment is having fun and bringing that laughter and joy and bliss in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, there's so many Buddha jokes about, you know, has his hot dog one with everything, you know, that's going to get the veggie Nazis coming after you. So, you know, there's so many things out there. And there's so many shoulds and people need to really go within and get their guidance from there because everybody's different. And everybody has different needs and everybody's body has different needs. And you know, you got to be authentic. And, you know, some things you eat for the soul, you know, like flowers are for the soul and some desserts are for the soul, you know, and having fun and things like that. And some things are for the body, you know, for your health, you know, and some things you probably shouldn't eat, you know, that, you know, create problems. And, you know, I'm seeing this new meat, some of these new fake meats coming out that have like 400% more estrogen in them.
I think some of them are exactly the same as dog food too.
Yeah.
Seriously, I saw a post somewhere here on mainstream news that they were saying that basically it's exactly the same ingredients, even the ratios of certain things in it, as dog food. And the estrogen and certain things they're putting in it, yes, it may be good if you're a vegan, and that meaning, you know, you're not hurting animals and that, but the crap that's in it,
yeah,
you know, you need to weigh it up. And this is, yes, I've been vegan for 6-7 years, but I'll be the last to go around. What's that?
Said men will be growing boobs pretty soon if they keep eating that stuff, you know.
Exactly. But you've got to do what's right for you. And this is where I won't project my reality onto somebody else going, you've got to be vegan like me and this and that. Like, that turns me off being vegan when I see people bang like that. Yeah. But there is some people, unfortunately, that they've tried all different alternatives. And like you're saying, the body needs what it needs. And that's where I tell people when they ask me about it. Yes, a lot of these civilizations, one, a lot of them don't eat. Or two, if they do, it is predominantly, we could say, fruit and veg based. Some of them are on these type of liquid diets that have everything in it. But you've got to do what's right for you. We're here for the human experience. And I don't condone any killing of animals and that sort of thing. But I'm not going to tell at the same time people that you need to be vegan like me, because that's me going into judgment. And yes, if you want to flip it around, some of the things we have been saying are judgmental. But it's stuff that we need to reflect back as a community on what we need to work with to evolve forward. And that calls for critical criticism. It needs to be done, but it's not to be mean about it. It's to bring forth that which needs to be worked on.
Yeah. And, you know, I see too, it's balance with everything. I seek balance, you know. When I tell people the Dalai Lama eats meat like 6 months out of the year, they freak out. They just totally freak out. And a bunch of llamas came over here and they did these beautiful sand paintings, and then they wanted to go to McDonald's, and that just blew everybody. I go, well, they want to have the experience, you know. It's just like that. They don't have a McDonald's over there. You know, they wanted to have an experience, you know. They probably had one burger and that was enough, you know. But who knows, you know. But it's, the whole thing is just to get out of judgment, you know. Who am I to judge these llamas, you know? It's like, you know, it's, you know, that's the whole thing. And that takes you down and takes them down too. I love what one guy said. There's one thing worse, you know, than me eating this food is you judging, condemning my meal, you know. And he said, I'm blessing my meal, you know, here, and I need this. Because I know people that have had serious health problems and surgeries and things like that, and they need certain things to heal, you know. And I knew this one guy, he was like a yogi. He was a really cool guy, and he was eating a steak, and everybody just came down on him. He said, you know, my doctor told me he had some major surgery and all this other stuff. And he said, I need this kind of fat to reconstruct, you know, the tissues and all the other stuff. I need it to heal, you know? So, you know, it's really interesting. And if that's what he believed, then that's probably what happened, you know, and you know, it's all around your belief system, you know. You think it's poison, it's going to be poison if you think it's, you know, it's but the worst thing you can do is condemn your food, you know, whatever.
It's true, but you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, like I say to a lot of people, that as long as people are just being good people, they don't need to know what we know, and we don't need to be mean to them about you should be more like me or more like this or more. It's just people have just got to be happy and following their beliefs and just being good people. And we seem to, over the last few thousand years here, not get the point. It's obvious to some extent.
If you got a bad wound or something, they put buzzard grease on it, you know? And you go, why would you put buzzard grease on a wound? You know, I go, can you imagine the immune system of a buzzard and what they eat and everything else? Like, can you, I mean, it's just probably off the scale. So that would be probably why they would do it, you know. They would, and that would keep it from going septic and actually heal faster and everything else. But, you know, interesting stuff when you look at it. But, you know, to me, it's like, I just go by my own inner guidance, you know, what says, you know, like we had some egg foo young the other day. Oh, it was good. It was like the best.
You love your egg foo young, yeah. In Australia, they're like, what the hell is he talking about? I can't remember what it is now, but it's just like, I don't know. Just tell them what you want, James, because I'll understand it if you actually tell them the ingredients. And then it's something else, but nothing wrong with it, mate.
Well, I tell you, one thing I tell you, it's sad over there, is we couldn't find any. The Mexican food places over here are so good. And you go over there and you go, dude, you know, a taco, it's a taco, you know, give me some chips with it. You know, I don't want to pay $10 for a little bowl of chips.
Oh, man. Like, seriously, that's why I've got my pickup truck at your house. I get in that, and every day I find a different Mexican restaurant. It's cheap, it's filling, and it's so good in America. But you come to Australia, that's the tip for somebody out there. If you've got money, come to Australia and start a Mexican restaurant, and you will make a heap.
Like, are you?
I, of course, had, like, you know, some Mexican at certain restaurants, but what got me was you and me would go out, you know, a few times a week as well to have Mexican. So I came back here to Australia and I looked up a Mexican restaurant, went and found it. Now, first off, they brought out this little tiny cup of corn chips.
Yeah.
All right. In America, you get a salad bowl. Now, of corn chips. Now, what got me was when I went to leave and pay, I had to pay $4 for a little bowl that big of corn chips. But yet in America, I can sit there just having root beer. Now people are going to have a go at that, but I love me root beer in America. I don't drink it here, but I love it when I'm in America. And they just keep bringing out salad bowl after salad bowl of corn chip, and you don't pay a cent. And the size of the meals, everything, the flavor, amazing.
I mean, yeah, I went out, Kathy and I went out to pick up the lumber and everything, and actually some of the restaurants are open here. And so I went to this little Mexican restaurant and sat down, had a beautiful meal, and had this giant burrito and all the chips you could eat, and an Arnold Palmer, you know, I had my Arnold Palmer and everything. And we come out of there and it's like $20, you know, and I go, God, that was ridiculously cheap, you know? So I gave him a really big fat tip for being open. I said, you know what? I said, here, this is your C-19 tip, you know, for being open. You know,
was that the town on your side, the Washington State side, that town there?
No, it's the one in Hood River. You know that?
Oh, Hood River, yeah.
That one. They're open. You know, and the other ones are open, but they're all takeout. But they are starting to open here. The restaurants are starting to open, but they still have all these little rules and regulations.
We got a little bit here, but predominantly, from what I know, like. Man, this is just like, I don't even know why you do this, but some of the restaurants have put cardboard cutout versions of people in there and they'll only have 10 in there at a time, 10 people with these cardboard cutouts. And I'm just like, what? But most of them predominantly now, they're just like, you go up to the door and they've got a, you know, a desk there and they'll take your order and bring it out. But we're seeing a little bit of openness happening here as well, but pretty much all the states are shut off except for Victoria and New South Wales. But there's concerns around that now even as well. So being hard because my family just started the border as well.
Well, here, you know, here they're starting to do things by counties and things like that. And, you know, we live out in Egypt here.
You're in Clickitat County.
Yeah. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And so, I mean, there's I don't know if the local restaurants opened up yet here, but they're letting a lot of restaurants and businesses open up in the more rural counties. But I think by definitely by June, I think everything's going to be open. You know,
has there been much activity your way? Like at the ranch, I know you've been filming some stuff and, you know, you've got some volunteers and crew there that have been there the whole time anyway. So been much happening for you in terms of what's been happening at the ranch?
Yeah, everything is accelerated and closer and more intense, I've noticed. And so we're seeing, you know, people are saying, oh, that's, you know, we did those sky watches, those two sky watches we did where they were live.
That was a great idea, man. That was a really good idea.
So we have all the gear for that, and we're going to start doing that on regular. We're going to open up our own channel and have our own people come on and start doing workshops and classes and have the sky watches and everything available to people. And we're working on that right now. But the last two sky watches, we had total cooperation with the ships. And one of them, though, right towards the end, both batteries died. It was really weird. Both batteries of my camera died. They were charged up. All of a sudden, they opened up, and it's supposed to have like 600 minutes on it, and it's got like 100. And then it just went down fast. And so right at the end of the Skywatch, when we decided to close it out, I go, well, guys, my second battery's dead, you know, and it's like started at 9 and we're there for an hour and 37 minutes or something like that. As soon as the battery died, this, all these ships came from every direction. And I go, damn, you know, but luckily people had those little psionics. They had two or three had those and they got them and they got the ships coming in, but they definitely participated. They put on quite a show for everybody. And the orbs, you know, we show people the orb highway here and all the other stuff going on. So
it's brilliant because people just get a taste of it. So many people I talk to just wish they could afford to fly to America or they could get there. And there's no way that ESET is expensive either. It's really great pricing for whether it's the cabin or, you know, whatever you're doing there. But to give people an actual taste in real time, live streaming it, bloody brilliant idea. Just there's been a lot of people say stuff to me about it and they've been really thankful for it. So that's really great that you're doing that. I wish I could do that here. I'm not sure if I could with the internet speed, if it would, you know, lag in and out with where I am. But yeah, you've updated the system there and it worked out great.
Yeah, we had to totally upgrade and do some things. I don't know if I can say what we did, but we had to go way outside the box just so we could do that. And hopefully things will even get better. But, you know, it's just keeping a signal here is rough, you know, because we're out in the middle of the boonies. But we are going to live stream everything, the workshops, the conferences, the everything. We're going to start live streaming and setting things up that way.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, it's been pretty active here as well. Since you left, there's been so much stuff that I've filmed, but I just either haven't had the time to get it up or some of it hasn't turned out too good. There was actually a really good, I had a flying saucer structured from white light fly over here at about 10 o'clock in the morning about a week ago, but the camera just would not focus on it. But but there's been some visitations from certain friends that we're working with and, you know, daily I've got the wispies here, you know, the beings just sort of phasing in and out, as you know, but it's been pretty interesting. I think at the moment it's almost just holding space for us to do this ourselves. And that's ultimately what we're at a stage right now where the ETs and angels, they're not here to fix it. They're here to assist us for us to help ourselves and move through this. And too many people are projecting outwards, but it's good to see, the activity's always just ramped up at the ranch like always.
Yeah. It's getting more intense. And I was taking some photographs the other day and I was outside with a couple people and they had their cameras and who took, I think Kathy did. Kathy just shot them out and she goes, look at this. And I go, there's a ship. There's all these ships. And another guy here did the same thing. He goes, look at this. And there's like five ships in his film. You know, he slowed it down to look at them. They're zipping around. There's, you know, one frame, there's five ships in it. But
was that around the Mount Adams?
Yeah. Going into the door there, the famous door where you got the footage of the ship popping out of the door, out of the cave, you know, up there. And that was a clincher right there because everybody goes, oh, those are campers, you know, those are campers up on the mountain. And those are roads and those are vehicles. There's no roads up there where we're filming. You know,
I've hiked up there, mate. Like exactly what you told us for so many years, exactly where you can actually walk up to, where you can't get through. Like that area is pretty much just impossible to even hike once you get to that area. And who knew it would have taken this day, a boy from Australia to come over and actually film it coming out of the mountain. But you've got so much activity going on that mountain so many years that you've filmed on there as well. You've got a morphing, doing stuff that is not possible in terms of our physics now, that it's a clencher with the years and years of footage that you've got. It's just, like I say to people, they want to put you down, take your foot out of your mouth for a moment, go to the ranch and just see and experience it yourself. How many times I've been at your place and people go, look, I thought I was going to debunk all this. And they're like walking away going, I don't know what to say because all I know is that I saw a heap of stuff I can't explain. And that's exactly what's going on there.
You know, those skyworm things too. We got, you filmed those while you're here. That was interesting. And God, there was so much stuff going on that mountain. And then we had, God, I keep brain farting on this name. Steve, is it Steve? That had the weapons of mass and
I'm doing the same.
Why do I forget his name?
I'm doing the same, man. I can't think at the moment, but I know who you're talking about. The dude with the weapon of mass destruction, $150,000 camera setup.
Yeah.
Geez, why can't, now I just feel bad.
Had night vision. Let me see. Had infrared night vision. This is all top military gear he had on there, and he proved without a shadow of doubt that there's no way that this is. He goes, these are cold light. There's no heat to them. There's no signature. They're not bodies. These lights are moving all around the mountain. You know, their intelligence.
Rob Friedman.
Yeah, Rob.
There we go.
Got it.
We got another Rob on here, one of our friends, just saying that. No, he's exactly right. And people can watch that. I think it's on your YouTube channel. There's a little clip, but it's also in Contact Has Begun too, that you can see the full setup and exactly what he's saying as he interviewed James, because he knows his stuff is real and he's skeptical, but he was like, this is definitely unexplainable. Like, exactly what you've been saying for years.
Yeah, I think he came up and, you know, if it was not real, he was going to debunk it, basically. And he walked away with more questions. He goes, I can't figure out what this is, what's going on up there, but it's not anything known. You know, these are unknowns. And he goes, they're under intelligent light. It's cold light. There's no heat signature. And they're moving all over the mountain, you know. And I know John Babanka with a remote viewing, he totally validated everything I've been saying for years, down to the detailed information, is that these are Merkabas and some of them are feline beings and things like that. And so when they remote viewed the ships that we filmed landing on the mountain and morphing into three or four and things like that, they end up drawing feline beings, and they said they are the ships. You know, they create their own ship and they appear and disappear whenever they want. And then your friend,
Jason Gleaves.
Gleaves, yeah.
He's got the original footages. He's analyzed them. He's one of the top image analysis experts on the planet. And yeah, like when you've got remote viewing it, when you've got people like Jason Gleaves analyzing the footage, when you've got all these witnesses, and like, man, it's got to be in the tens of thousands now of people that have been there over a 30 plus year period, that it's got to get to the point where it's like people either have to put up or shut up or go and visit to just make up their own mind. And then we get to the point now, it's all CGI as well, some people say.
Yeah. Yeah, well, CGI, it's in your face, you know. you're here, you're seeing it, it's in front of your face, you're having your own experience. Like Danny Dyer, when he came here, he said he went on UFO overload. He traveled the world trying to have a UFO experience. He came here and he said, I was on overload. But, you know, Robbie Williams, all those guys, you know, have come up here and had amazing experiences. But that, you know, what really gets to me is that and I've harped on this, I didn't want to talk about it, it's so ridiculous, but the UFO community, you know, the nuts and boltsers and all these guys that are having these mega conferences and everything else, they're telling the same story, a 60-year-old story. And they're trying to keep it nuts and bolts, and it's back engineered, it's Nazi technology, it's this, it's this, it's this. And they're missing the big picture. And they're so threatened by somebody that does have the big picture. I know you have the big picture, there's others as well. And that's why we're gonna create this network or this whole setup. We're gonna bring on the people like Mary Rodwell, people like that, that understand the big picture, and to get their story out, because it's so suppressed and so threatened. You know, now they get some famous guy and they get this grainy military footage and you go, that's it? You know, everybody's making a big thing. Like, we got them landing on the mountain, morphing into four or five, you know, massive lights blowing your lens out on your camera. They're so bright. You know, treetop level, half treetop level flying in, you know, and you go, why is everybody getting excited over this grainy little thing? And they said, oh, this grainy little tic-tac going by is I go, well, you know, we know who's on the ships. We know them by name. We know the pilots, you know. And they come, you know, as both of us have proven redundantly, they come when and where exactly we say they're going to come, like it, Ancient Aliens, which totally blew it. You know, all of us said, you did, John Babanka did, I did. We said, right, you know, we told them exactly when this ship was going to appear. It appeared, it was massive, and they missed it because they're so busy trying to control everything and kick me out of the show, basically.
Even John remote viewed that there would be a satellite or space station going before we started. He was right on that. he got the information. What got me, you and me had the same information, but we didn't know. And what happened was, I can remember being in your lounge room and I meditated. I thought I was gone for like 2-5 minutes. And the information I got was this feline being would be appearing exactly where you also said later on, exactly the same area. None of it made it to the final cut, but that's what you get with, I guess, an agenda.
Yeah, yeah, they have an agenda, which is to keep everything suspicious and keep everybody in, you know, wonderland, you know, like, could it be this or could it be that? And, you know, it's just like unbelievable. So we're going to get beyond that. We're going to totally blow out the control narrative and bring in the real information. And I know you're going to be a part of that, and quite a few of us all going to work together to make this happen. We're hitting the end of the hour. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you to, you know, I know you do counseling work and you've got your books and your movies and all the other things. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Yeah, people can just go to petermaxwellsuttery.com, esetiaustralia.org, or even your website, because there's links to me there as well. So, and yeah, there's a lot of, whether it's UFO videos, meditation techniques or clearing techniques like yourself, there's a wide range of stuff at your website and mine that people can find for some help, self-help tips and tools. So that's the place, those are the places to go.
All right. Hey, Peter, it's always great, you know, having you on the show. Peter's my brother from another mother.
Yeah. I love you, mate. Thanks for having me on, too.
Yeah. All right. Got to sign off. Unfortunately, we're out of time. It's James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio, and also he said he's Stargate. Keep an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent, and watch the skies. It's getting busy out there, and we will be open soon. So just stay tuned and watch our website. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night. Yeah.